This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped and we reflected over the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa. We created the human being in a state of weakness. Another place in the Quran, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man has been created in a state of haste. And we said amongst the meanings of da'af, or weakness, is for the person to carry out sins or disobedience. Thus we find خَيْرُ الْخَطَّاءِ كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءِ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All of the children of Adam will err, will make mistakes. And the best of those individuals who make those mistakes are those who swiftly, quickly repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah loves those individuals who are full of repentance, who repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find that returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we may need to reconcile ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then with the people around us, after the people around us. That will be the main theme of today's discussion, reconciliation with the people around us. But before that, as we mentioned, we need to begin by reminding ourselves that the first element of reconciliation, rectification, is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sila ma'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because by default, the more a person focuses on their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will facilitate, make it easy to rectify, reconcile with people, to give and to take and to accept, to pardon, to overlook, to forgive. The beginning journey of reconciliation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rectifying oneself after belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is none other than as-salah. This is the beginning of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many of us, or average people, that they think that just sufficient it is that a person yu'min billah, person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as that is the creed of the individual, that will suffice the individual, and that may suffice, that may help. And you find another extremity, that some people, even have the right belief, they carry out ma'asi, al-dhunub, disobedience, and they think that because of the thamara, the thamaratu tawheed, the belief will wipe out my sins, that will enable me to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also partially true. There's no guarantee that either of these two fariqs, either these two parties, will be destined to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the person needs to adopt the middle path. Is to take the measurements, the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid out upon this earth, and to carry them out to the best of the ability, to change, to rectify oneself. Thus you find that as-salah is the most strongest tool of your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Whoever breaks the covenant, whoever leaves as-salah, has disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has left the fold of Islam. And likewise, you find as-salah, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The impact of as-salah, تَنْهَى, prohibits the individual from what? Anil fahsha, illicit misconduct, bad behavior. Al fawahish wal munkarat. That's what as-salah does. If our salah doesn't take us away from munkarat, doesn't take us away from al fawahish, we need to question our salah. Because we find the extremities, some people just believe in kathratus salawat, or salah, excessive prayer. Pray as much as you can pray. Some of us believe in just adopting the sunnah. فَلَا شَكْ فِي ذَلِكَ. صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي حديث البخاري. ولكن ما هو لب الصلاة؟ وما هو رأس الصلاة؟ What have ulama of tazkiyah concluded and discussed? What is the essence of salah? What is the purpose of salah? Is it just that throughout our prayers that some of us become overzealous of the sunnah? And it should be reminded that even in salah you find that people will drag another person next to them, will touch them, will correct them, place them in a row. Fuqaha have discussed fi bidayati salah. In the beginning of salah, try your best to straighten your rows, to be close together. It doesn't mean throughout the salah that a person differs from here to there, that your whole salah becomes focusing on your neighbor. That's what some of us, our life has become, that looking at akhta al-musalleen, looking at the mistakes of the people who pray around us, what their mistakes are. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but for some of us it becomes the symbol that this is all that we look at, we condense our life upon to see what are the mistakes. And we fail to understand the spirit of a salah. The ruhaniyat, the spiritual aspect of salah. What should it be of the individual? What should it lead the individual to? What should it develop within the individual? As salah develops within the individual, spirituality, at-taqarrub ila Allah, closeness, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminds the individual to stay away from al-fawahish, from bad behavior, bad speech, bad conduct. That's what as-salah does, it awakens the individual. That's what you find it in a hadith. A beautiful description that if a person was to have a river outside their house and was to wash themselves 5 times a day, 5 times a day to bathe inside that river, would you find any dirt, any grime, any filth on that individual? No. Likewise, as-salah, it washes away the individual. And that's why in this blessed month of Rajab that we find that some people celebrate the journey, Al-Mi'raj, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. What are they celebrating? What is there to celebrate? Rather, what is there to develop inside our lives? Because Salah was given in the heavens, above the heavens, gifted to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. إِنَّنِي أَنَّ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Just like Musa alayhi salam, when he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given the gift, told to establish a salah. And likewise the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, given that gift to offer prayers 50 times a day. When he came down to Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam begged to differ with him and said, the ummah is not going to be able to do this. Carried on arguing, carrying on again and again, till eventually he came down, till the Prophet alayhi salam said that I'm shy to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for anything less than this. فَخَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ. 5 times a day, 10 times a reward equals 50. Still look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there's certain moments inside the day the person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Prayer has been prescribed for believers at set times to stop at certain moments. It was 50 times a day. Imagine there will be no moment of rest. But Allah in His infinite mercy and justice made it 5 times, condensed it, reduced it to 5 times a day. So the person can live, can do whatever they want to do inside their life. But at those moments, go back and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa'ihal, what concerns us is about reconciliation with the people around us. To exert our efforts, to try to reconcile with the masses of people around us. Because this moral value is more virtuous than excessive praying and fasting. Because some of us, once again, that we think that excessive doing certain actions, that makes a person a good Muslim. These are good things for personal identity, for the person themselves. They're not necessarily good things for the society. And nawafil are good for the person. They don't necessarily benefit the people around us. What benefits the community around us is to be able to be a person who reconciles amongst people. And that's what we find. Shall I inform you what is more virtuous than the rank of fasting, praying and charity? Obviously he's speaking about extra prayers, extra fasting, extra charity. Not the fara'id, obligatory prayers and obligatory fasting of Ramadan or zakah? What is beyond that? They replied, but of course, advise us what is better than that to do inside our life. He said, making peace and reconciliation amongst each other. For indeed, spoiling relationships with each other is like the razor. Another hadith mentions, not the razor, that one that shaves one head with. This is a razor that destroys the deen, destroys Islam. Differing amongst ourselves and not reconciling, it weakens this Muslim ummah. As you find inside the Quran, don't differ and divide amongst yourselves. That your wind, and the ulama have described that the wind here carries the meaning of quwwatukum. Your strength is taken away from you. Every time we differ and we break away, we dismantle, we lose our strength. We lose our power. We lose our dignity. So we clearly visualize. The more that we Muslims divide amongst ourselves, the more divided we become, the more weaker we become inside society. The more weaker our voice becomes inside society. And thus we find, are we exerting ourselves privately or publicly to encourage ourselves to reconcile, to rectify, to become better individuals? The Quran mentions, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. There's no good in their gatherings and their meetings, in their secret consultations. They're sitting amongst themselves. If we can study our own selves, when we sit amongst our own selves, what words can we use? But what do we gossip about? What do we talk about? What do we discuss? The Quran is unique, is dynamic. The Quran says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ. There's no goodness in any of their consultations, in their sittings and their gatherings. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمْرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Except for you sit with one another and you encourage people towards ma'ruf, towards goodness. Or you encourage people towards giving of wealth, of spending of wealth. أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Or you're trying to reconcile amongst people. Whoever does that seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever does that seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give them immense reward, will be given to those individuals. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but some of us thrive upon splitting the ranks of the Muslim ummah. And this is nothing but qillatu fahm maqasid al-sharia. This is nothing but a lack of understanding what the intent of Islamic law is. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahda, is unity, is coming together. There's more things that unites this Muslim ummah than that which makes us different, differentiates us. But some of us thrive upon that which we differ upon and make that the global message. We don't understand the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a greater message. There's a greater impact. There's a greater understanding that there's far more that brings us together. Whether we look at what took place in New Zealand, what do we see? Don't we see a bigger image of Islam? Don't we see a bigger message of Islam? These evil individuals, or this evil individual, do you think when he entered inside the masjid, was his mindset that what sect this person is praying inside this masjid? Do you think this person's mindset was what type of Muslim he is? Or was his mindset that I just need to destroy everything affiliated with Islam and Muslims? But that's not our mindset. Unfortunately, it sounds very strange, but some of us, that's not our mindset. Because we've been programmed in the opposite direction. The first question that we ask is, what is the mutual affiliation of this person with me personally? Not what is this person's affiliation with Islam, the message of Islam, the belief of Islam. We're warped up in our mentality. That's why we become a defeating people at times. They've defeated us. They've defeated our mindset. They've gone so deep within ourselves that the only thing that we think about is our personal interest. We don't see the interest of Islam. We don't see the interest of Muslims at large. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast, is wide. Lands, nations, peoples, tribes, it conquers it all. We live in a bubble world that Islam is just my Islam. My belief, my success, my people, my followers, my personality, my individuality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed His message on the face of this earth and the heavens, everywhere. Whether we come, we go, whatever we who we think we may be. We're nothing. There's nothing special about us. Allah throughout history wipes out, brings about other people, other nations, other individuals, other personalities. Who do what? Who make Islam become lofty once again. For what basis? Because why? They're only concerned about the symbols of Islam, about the preservation of Islam, about the glory of Islam. They're not worried about their own glorification, that what many of us have become, our own glorification, our own personal identity. And if people squabble and fight amongst themselves, and Muslims even stay or kill amongst themselves, just turn a blind eye. Rather than become Muslims, we become passive approval. A Muslim nation bombs another Muslim nation, we become tacit approval. It's a political climate. How is it a political climate? To bomb thousands of other individuals, to make them homeless, to make them suffer. How does that become something that doesn't concern us? That's not what a Muslim is. Just to turn a blind eye. Political agendas exist there and destroy innocent Muslims' lives, derail them, make them homeless, take their lives, their property. For what purpose? What is the intent? The intent is quite clear. For their own personal satisfaction. Their own personal Islam. Not the global message of Islam. Because if it was a global message, then most of these individuals will be the first individuals to be taken for what they have upon their hands. And that's why we should become those individuals who begin to encourage one another. لَمْ يَكْذِبْ مَنْ نَمَا بَيْنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ. That person is not classified as a liar. لِيُسْلِحَ لَيْسَ بِالْكَذِبْ. That person tries to rectify people. لَيْسَ بِالْكَذِبْ. He's not a liar. مَنْ أَصْلَحَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Who tries to reconcile between people. فَقَالَ خَيْرًا أَوْ نَمَا خَيْرًا. Who may exaggerate in certain words or say certain good words. That person, according to Sharia, is not classified as a liar. What we may call in the English language as a white lie, linguistically. Look at the essence of the Sharia. That person isn't classified as a liar who's trying to reconcile between Muslims. Who's trying to rectify Muslims. Who's trying to encourage Muslims. Who speaks well about other Muslims to bring them back to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, which has been reported to him, that this type of, if we can use the words, a deceptive speech linguistically, because none of the prophets were deceptive, but using his words linguistically. Now when he's asked that, who is this woman that is with you? He said, she's my sister, to protect her. Likewise, when he mentioned, when they were going to their gathering, فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ, that I'm sick. Whether they took that to mean that he's physically sick, or he meant that he's physically sick of shirk. Their idolatry. Their worshipping of statues and idols that we find. Take this corruption away. The most abominable sin on the face of this earth. To commit shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find in a hadith, a person is not a liar who reconciles between people, saying good things and conveying good things. Like another hadith, Muslim, that we find, they don't hear of any concession. Except on three occasions, concessions are given that a person may say certain words, which may not seem to be accurate. Or will we find in the harb, in warfare. Warfare is deception. Warfare doesn't mean that when a person is in a state of warfare, that you disclose your location and who you are and your people and your troops and your army. Al-harbu khidah. War is deception. That you find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the most accurate individual in his strategical planning about what he instructed his companions around him. Let's read through the seerah. The battle of Uhud that we read about it, some of us, we think that it may be a loss. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, sahibu Zadul Ma'ad, a book of seerah that we find that he wrote it, biduni kutub, He wrote it without any books, riding on his camel beast on his journey to Hajj. And it's classified as the most accurate book on the seerah. Zad al-Ma'ad fi Hadi Khair al-Ibad. Wrote it once on a journey without biduni kutub, without any books. Highlights that the Battle of Uhud is not a loss. It's amongst one of the most greatest victories of the Muslim. To see that, these are what helps us to reconcile, to see where we went wrong. The Prophet was strategically placed certain archers. He placed those 50 archers. And he gave them specific instructions. Whether we're slain, we're killed, and the birds flock down and begin to peck at our flesh and eat our flesh, don't leave your location. Don't leave your location. But once again, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Some of us become hasty. We don't see the greater picture. They saw victory was there, that the Prophet is winning. Companions are winning. We want a share of the booty. We want to come down and take that booty. So 40 of them, they came down. The other 10, they remained there. Didn't follow the instructions. And you find that from the garrisons of Khalid and Walid, where at times the non-Muslim was the only one, who was the only sharpest personality, who saw that weakness and came and attacked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to such a degree that we find that the pain was felt on his shoulder لِمُدَّةِ الشَّهْرِ, for a month. They scarred his cheek, broke his tooth. But Khalid ibn Walid, he felt so remorseful about that in his life. So remorseful, he said that once I become Muslim, you'll find that there'll be no stone ever unturned. That when I fight, they'll fight with all that strength to protect once again the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam this time. To protect him. That's what their iman was. That's what their yaqeen was. That everything inside their life became devotion and commitment towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, when what a man says to reconcile amongst people, he's not lying. He's not classified as a lie. Likewise, a person between a husband and wife, and a wife and a husband, is not lying. To give words of praise, of encouragement, in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim that we find. And that's when a person who tries to reconcile and not dismantle our society and brotherhood. The greatest example of brotherhood inside the Quran is Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter, 18 verses. The greatest example of an Islamic society. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. If two groups of the believers, they begin to slay, begin to fight one another, أولاً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says that two groups of the believers, they fight. Believers. Allah never said that one group are believers and the other group are disbelievers. They're carrying out a major action of fighting with one another. And as we began with, human beings are weak. Historically, it's been documented that some of the companions, they fought against one another. That doesn't discredit them in any way, because companions are human beings. They may have erred, they made misjudgments, or judgments that may have not accurate. As a consensus, the Sahaba are infallible. As a consensus, as an embodiment, they are infallible. But individual personalities, they may have made certain errors, certain judgments, that many of them, they regretted what they did inside their life. But it shows their human nature. No way is it to defame any of the companions or to belittle them. It's a lesson for us that they fought at certain times. But the Quran describes believers, or people who fight amongst themselves, still to be classified as believers. And try to reconcile amongst yourselves. But if one party, it goes beyond the limitations, then you fight them until they return back to the truth. That's what your intent is, to bring them back to the truth, till eventually they reconcile. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Then a person should do what? فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Reconcile between with fairness and justice and equity. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves the people of fair and just individuals. Then Allah mentions, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحِمُونَ. Then Allah mentions, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Allah says that the believers are nothing less but brethren towards one another. Reconcile between your brothers. Reconcile amongst them. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may become successful individuals. إذا وقفنا عند تفسير هذه الآية أو هذه الآيات, go and read the tafsir of these ayat inside Imam al-Mufassirin Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi. What is the reason of revelation? Two views are given by ulama of ulum al-Qur'an of asbab al-muzul. The most accurate view being the hadith inside Bukhari and Muslim, that the reason this verse was being sent down was a story of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam going to Abdullah ibn Ubayy, whereby you find that some of the companions, or they suggested, we should go and meet this individual who's a leader of the hypocrites. He's known to be a hypocrite. So I said, maybe we should go and meet this individual, reconcile, to discuss, to speak with this individual. So when they go to this individual, you find that the Prophet ﷺ is riding upon a himar, upon a donkey, a riding beast. Look at the simplicity of the Prophet ﷺ inside his life. He was, as the ulama of hadith discussed it, he wasn't worried about an entourage, a charade, a people, bodyguards, people, protection. Just simple, riding a himar, riding a donkey. When he comes close to this individual, remember munafiqun, they can't conceal themselves. They can't conceal their hatred. He says, get this donkey away from me. Get this person away from me. Because indeed, the smell of this donkey is foul. It stinks, it smells. I don't want to meet the messenger of Allah if he's riding his donkey, in other words. So once Muslims became emotional. How dare you speak to our leader in this manner? فَقَالَ رَجُمْ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. When the Ansari stood up, he said, وَاللَّهِ, he said, by Allah, the smell of the donkey أَطْيَبَ مِنْكَ. The smell of the donkey smells far better than you. You stink far more than the donkey. Argument broke out. A squabble broke out. They began to hit one another. Followers of this individual, followers of the Prophet, they're both Muslims. Because you know, the end result is these individuals are munafiqun. They know how to pull the strings. That's what they were doing. He was just pulling the strings. They let the Muslims fight amongst themselves and he'll take a back seat. So Allah sent down these verses. In طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. So in two believers, groups, fractions, fight amongst themselves, reconcile, don't leave it at that. Don't fall prey to what these people are doing. Like as we did tafsir, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Read the tafsir of these ayat inside Surah Ali Imran, some verse 104 or so that we find. The two tribes of Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, as Imam Fasir Ibn Kathir mentions, fighting amongst themselves for years. These two factions became classified as Al-Ansar. Who was ruling Medina at that time? Who was ruling Al-Yathrib? Was being ruled by whom? Al-Yahud. By the Jews. They kept these factions fighting for many years. To do what? To dominate, to control, to be powerful. To control the society around them. Imam Qurtubi mentions, Ikhwatuddin Athbat min Akhwatin Nasr. Imam Qurtubi al-Andalusi, the famous Mufassir, says that the brotherhood of faith is far more stronger and more committed than the brotherhood of one's lineage, of blood relationship. That the brotherhood of Islam is far more powerful than even your own brother. Imam Sa'di mentions regarding وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ inside his tafsir. Tafsir al-Sa'di, Imam Sa'di. He mentions about this conclusion that إِذَا حَسْلَةِ الرَّحْمَةِ حَسْلَ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. If you gain the mercy of Allah, you gain the mercy of this dunya and the akhirah. Amongst the gaining of the mercy of Allah is what? إِصْلَاحُ النَّاسِ. To rectify amongst ourselves. We've condensed that the mercy of Allah is restricted to 1, 2 and 3. We fail to understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linked to our social welfare. The people that we live around, to try to reconcile with these individuals. And likewise we find other ulama mentioned, regarding to see this verse, modern day contemporary individuals mentioned, that we practitioners at du'at, a'imma, who are supposed to be role models, they should be at the forefront. At the forefront of trying to reconcile with people. Not be at the forefront to create more dissecting the Muslim Ummah, more fractioning of the Muslim Ummah. So the average person says that you cannot reconcile amongst yourselves. You're not far away from it. You're always dissecting yourselves. So what benefit will we have if you are differing amongst your own selves? So the lesson is firstly to ourselves, practitioners, ourselves. What efforts are we making to try to reconcile between people? Reconcile with this Muslim Ummah that we find. And thus we find is a person shouldn't take sides. That's what the message of Quran is. When a person reconciles, what is the intention of the individual? And not just to leave it as well. As the Quran mentioned, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The reward of an evil is an evil equivalent to it. Just let something pass by, let it go by, let people do whatever they're doing. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Whoever tries, فَمَنْ عَفَى, whoever pardons, وَأَصْلَحَ, whoever pardons, tries to reconcile, then the reward lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find that the person tries to reconcile, not go beyond the limits. In a hadith that you find reconciliation is allowed among Muslims, except for reconciliation that makes something which is lawful to make it unlawful. In the Surah of Tirmidhi, Allah, a person should exert as much as they can to reconcile between people. We find reconciliation inside the Quran, whether it be directly or indirectly, is multiple verses of encouragement inside the Quran. Even to such a degree when the Quran begins to speak about the worldly affairs, whether it be speaking about al-anfal or al-ghanaim, speaking about the booty and the wealth and the property, look how strange the Quran is. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. In the 8th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, that we find, they ask you about the war booty, the captives, the wealth, the property. Say that this property is wealth, the booty that's been taken, it belongs to Allah, and then it belongs to Messenger. But a strange thing is that Allah mentions, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. The strange thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reconcile amongst your own selves. كَأَنَّ الْإِشَارَ, that the wealth and the property will lead you to what? To fight with one another, to squabble one another. The property, seeking of this dunya. And just take your fair share of this dunya. But that shouldn't become your overriding factor. This is what concerns you. The inner message of Islam, the inner life of Islam is, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reconcile, وَأَصْلِحُ ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Encourage them to reconcile amongst yourselves. Reconciliation is what the person should be doing. Reconcile this Muslim Ummah. And this Muslim Ummah, in all honesty, what is the beginning of the Muslim Ummah? The Ummah is Al-Usra, the family. You know, we have this great vision of the Ummah. The Ummah begins, for all of us, the average individual, it begins with Al-Usra, begins with the family. And that's the Quran, with numerous verses, passages inside the Quran. حَتَّى نَقُولُ سُرَةُ النِّسَاءِ. The whole of Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter, is discussing in broad the details of marital, of life relationships that we find. So the Quran mentions, إِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. If you fear that there's going to be any rancor or separation between the husband and the wife, then bring somebody from his family and somebody from her family. If they want reconciliation, then Allah will grant that. Meaning the person should exert all of their effort to reconcile. Because the breaking, the splitting of a family is a breaking of this Muslim Ummah. That's what in essence it is. That's why inside Surah An-Nisa, we find, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. Study this passage inside the Quran. We've taken not just any covenant. The Quran speaks about mithaq. Many covenants are taken inside the Quran from Bani Israel, from people, from society. But only one place in the Quran, Allah mentioned mithaqan ghaliza, a strong covenant, aqdul nikah, the covenant of marriage. Should it just be broken just like that? speaking with honesty, what do we find inside our society? We're finding a broken society, broken families, misplaced children. That's what we're finding inside a society. It's shameful to mention it, but this is the reality. Problems that we're facing inside a society that we can't imagine, that this is actually taking place in the environment that we live in at the moment. And that's likewise we find that sometimes the person may need to dissolve a marriage. Quran mentions that. But even then the person resolves it وَصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, to rectify in a good manner, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ, but there's still going to be an element of greed, of personal agenda within the person. But a person needs to overcome that. إِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. But if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you overcome that, then that person will be the better individual. And that's what we need to focus upon inside our lives. That a primary role inside our lives is to rectify our relationship as we began with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rectify it with our family members. Our responsibilities, mas'uliyah, which has been taken away from us. And we can see clearly, day in and day out, the cases that our imma are facing. At-tala'ub bi-shari'a, playing with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That because a person knows what the Quran and the Sunnah is, that by default makes him a person who's above the law. As we began with, no person is above the law. No person is ever above the law. Your belief in Tawheed leads you towards good practice. And if you study the Quran in great detail, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Tawheed, also speaks about bad sins and couples it with certain corruptive actions. For example, when Allah mentioned speaking inside the end of Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th chapter of the Quran, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Study these sifat of عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Walk upon the earth in a state of humility. Not arrogant, not proud, they try to reconcile amongst people. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ نَفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. عجيب. فأي علاقة بالله سبحانه وتعالى والقتل النفس والزنا. لأن صاحب التوحيد, person of tawheed, understands what tawheed is. Stays away from killing of innocent individuals. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. Stay away from any form of zina. That's what a person of sahib al-tawheed, that's the impact of tawheed. What do we find inside our society? يتزوج يطلق, زوج يطلق, فوضى, marries, divorces, marries, divorces, leaves, does what he wants to do. This, in all honesty, was taking place inside our society. What is this? This is tawheed. This is oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you do whatever you please. You leave a woman as you please. Leave the children as you please. This is tala'ub bil-shari'ah. This is ittiba'ul hawa wa shahawat. This is following your own lust and your desires, your own self. That I can do this. Don't you think that you will not be questioned about that? Every single child that comes on the face of this earth, there will be a responsibility. Then we can speak about the wider world, the crime, the upheaval, the corruption, the rancor, the disobedience of our children, everything goes back to what? Al-usra, the family. How are we nurturing ourselves? How are we nurturing our children? What are we worried about inside our lives? And likewise to our family members as well. This sawahish, many times we've expressed it. Social media is corruption. It's corruption. Likes and dislikes of women on Facebook, of dua, preachers, Islamic personalities, doesn't wear hijab, doesn't dress appropriately. Even normally that we find people exchanging messages with the ghayr maharim, leads to what? What does it lead to? Then people say that there's nothing wrong with our society. It all leads to corruption, dismantling of the identity, the moral values of people.
person needs to nip it in the bud. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, afdhul khalq wa ahsanul khalq wala shubha alayhi. There's no doubt that a person could ever throw the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But look how accurate he was inside his life. So accurate inside that never wanted any stone unturned to encourage his followers and the people around him. When he's in a state of i'tikaf, he approaches his wife Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he sticks his head out of the masjid and she oils his hair. She speaks to him. Two companions, they walk by and they begin to hasten in their walking. And he says to them, be at ease, be at rest. Ala ristikuma. Be at ease, be at rest. Indeed, it's my wife that I'm with Safiya. They said, how can we ever think something wrong of you, Ya Rasulullah? You're the messenger of Allah. That's right, you can never think anything wrong about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he sent out this message. He said, I'm not worried about that. But indeed, shaitan flows through the veins of the human being just like blood flows through the veins. So be vigilant. Be vigilant inside your life. Don't just, in this modern world, don't just take it as trivial. How many homes have been destroyed? How many people have there been problems inside their homes? For what basis? On this, people are being vigilant, thinking that this is fantasy words. This is a reality that we're facing, these social issues. And we can reconcile on issues, on minor issues that exist, disputes between family members. But you cannot reconcile between a person who's committed major atrocities like zina, wahua mutazawwij. How can you expect to reconcile between a person who's a married individual and carries out zina? How can you reconcile with that individual and with their family and their members? What reconciliation can a person offer? The only reconciliation is al-had and the sharia. The only reconciliation is the law that will awaken people, awaken us all, that if a person does this, then this is the doom. This is the end result that sends out a deep message in society that we will reconcile in certain things, but certain things we will not reconcile for the preservation of the identity in a Muslim personality in a Muslim ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all ability to all make a sulh baynana wa bayn Allah, to make rectification, reconciliation within ourselves and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be wary, to be worried about that, about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has that inside their heart, then Allah opens up the door, opens up the means and the ways to reconcile with people, to rectify with people, to pardon and to forgive people, and to become a better individual. Because the person's for ajruhu ala Allah, the person's reward is sought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.